recognizing our pastor, Reverend Jemison, the shepherd of the Second Baptist flock, recognizing our WMU president, Mrs. E. Candy Ellis Davis, ministers of Second Baptist, we want to thank you for relinquishing your stations today and especially recognizing you, our audience and visitors. I am delighted to introduce and present our speaker for the Women's Mission Sunday. Women are personally engaged in mission activities, and we are committed to advancing the kingdom of God, whether, as Ms. Terry said, it is at home locally, on the national level, or foreign mission outreach. Women have contagious enthusiasm and radiate joy and compassion. I open with this statement because it depicts our speaker today. Minister Jo Angela Waters invests in what matters most: her relationship with God and relationships with family and others. As you read her bio, you will note that while at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, she worked tirelessly beside her pastor husband. She co-founded and serves as chairperson for the Dr. E. Thurman Walker Foundation Incorporated, a scholarship organization. While developing relationships with others, she taught new member orientation there, taught Vacation Bible School, developed a puppet ministry, and engaged in other ministries as stated in the bio. She advanced these ministries with contagious enthusiasm and compassion. She was also a member of the board of directors of the Antioch Christian Academy and demonstrated compassion and love for children during my tenure as administrator. Minister Waters states that her life mantra is, "Life is short. Live with intention." It has been my observation, along with her own stated mantra, that Minister Waters lives a lifestyle that says, "Use me, Lord, in thy service." Mrs. Jo Angela has one son, a daughter-in-law, and three adorable grandchildren who lovingly call her Gaga. Minister Waters accepted her call to ministry on Pentecost Sunday in May 2015. She was ordained on July 29, 2018. She is presently a member of Resurrection Baptist Church in Shirts, Texas. She has come to us today with spiritual food from God. Amen. Following the music of preparation by our all-women choir, the next voice you will hear will be our beloved speaker for today, Minister Jo Angela Walker. But now, would you please help me welcome her to our pulpit and show her some love with a huge round of applause. Thank you. And now, the choir. Thank you.
walking right.
When you see me walking right.
And when you see me talking right.
When you see me talking right.
When you see me doing right.
When you see me living right.
When you see me giving right.
When you see me giving right.
A blessed morning it is. I am so honored to be in this place, this historic. I told Pastor, this church is historic. It has a grand and great history on the east side of San Antonio. Yes. A grand and great ministry. People have been helped by the fact that this church sits and ministers to the community. Pastor Jemison, Lady Jemison, deacons, trustees, auxiliary officers, everyone who was installed today, to my sisters who greeted me this morning, to Sister Marshall who introduced me, who is a mentor. She is quite a lady. And in the time that I had to work with her, I learned much about patience and when to be quiet and sit down. Yes, you don't have to always talk. Sister Candy Ellis Davis, Sister Dickerson, Sister Fuller, Sister Terry, all of these ladies greeted me today, and I'm grateful for the prayers. Sister Wanda, we went to school together. If I start calling names, we might be here till 3 o'clock because I see, no, I'm not going to do that. I see, by myself, right? I see a plethora of faces that I know and love. Bless God that you're here today. I did want to share one thing before the sermon. The song Standing on the Promises, that is the theme for today. Did you know that that song was written by Russell Kelso Carter in 1849? He was a star athlete and an outstanding student, an ordained Methodist minister, a musician, a songwriter, and later in life he became a physician. At 30 years old, he suffered a critical heart condition. The doctor told him that there was nothing they could do. He was a Christian, and this health crisis made him dig deeper into his faith, and the song Standing on the Promises was born. I love that song. When I saw the theme, the tune. Pastor, my sister's here, and she's going to get me, but because she's way back there with that pretty platinum hair, and she's a member here, so I thank God for her, Shirley Bass. I thank God for her. I love her. She is my sister by another mother, but we have kindred hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this sacred time. Thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, ask now that you will forgive me for any way or anything that I've done that has come short of your glory. Hide me behind your word. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. We thank you for what you will do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I am, in keeping with the theme today, Standing on the Promises, that comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, I'm going to come from a little different approach, but I want you to recognize and realize that in that 2 Peter passage, it talks about the precious faith, the precious promises, and the precious blood of Jesus. So keep that in the foundational thoughts that you have as I proceed. The scripture that we're coming from today is Exodus 14, verses 10 through 14. Exodus 14, verses 10 through 14. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And verse 14 says, the Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. Word of God for the people of God and for his glory. I enjoy Old Testament stories, especially about the Israelites, because they remind me of us. Starting from the first century Christians, we have experienced everything they have. We've experienced God's love, God's call, and God's covenant. But he's experienced our love, our disobedience, and I need to be saved over and over again from my sins and ourselves. Woven throughout the story of Exodus 14 is the continued evidence of a promise-keeping God. When it comes to the history of God's goodness and his faithfulness, he has a perfect track record with me. As we look at our text today, we find the Israelites in the midst of a desperate situation. God himself has directed them into this situation to show them in a magnificent fashion that he's just that kind of God. He is God alone. If you look at the brief history behind the text, the Israelites had been in bondage for years, enslaved by the Egyptians under the rule of Pharaoh. And now, after many years of crying out to God, they were witnessing God moving on their behalf. They were witnessing God saying, enough is enough. So up rises a liberator named Moses. Born as a Hebrew slave, raised as an Egyptian prince, Moses, a shepherd, called by God to be a prophet, a priest, a lawgiver, a judge, a miracle worker, and God's ordained emancipator. Yes. Exodus 14 is one of the most dramatic chapters in Israelite history. As they were fleeing Egypt, chased down by thousands of Egyptian warriors, they cried out to Moses, lamenting, hey, I'm just going to use our vernacular, you done brought us out here to die. What is up with that? But Moses declared that they should not be afraid. The Lord would deliver, and so it was. He put a cloud between the Egyptians and his people so that the Israelites were concealed. He led them to the Red Sea by a divine light to what seemed to be an impasse. This sounds like a movie script. In fact, you know, I'm going to be 62 in April. I remember the Ten Commandment movie. It was a lot of chaos going on, and that was just actors. So if you can visualize, Pharaoh is approaching. The people look up and see him. The infants are crying. The elderly are screaming. The men are shouting. The women lamenting. There is nothing to indicate that these over 1 million black folk were cool, calm, and not at all collected. Scripture says they were terrified. They were crying out. They were losing their minds. Y'all seen those scenes in the movie where somebody gets all out of sorts and all upset and they just slap them? Yeah. Moses tried to calm them down and no doubt using his hands and his staff, he was trying to silence the chaos. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. You will see the deliverance of the Lord today. These folk you see chasing you, you won't see them anymore. Truth be told, I don't know about you, but I hear God telling me at times to sit down, stand still, be still, and watch me work. And I will repeat that while I'm walking and helping him work. While I'm tearing down stones and buildings, trying to build up a wall around myself, I'm trying to help the Lord, and he's telling me to be still. Be still is more than a phrase on a plaque. It's more than a religious shirt. It is a powerful instruction. It is also repeated in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. In original Hebrew language, the meaning of be still can be translated as the word surrender. Somebody say surrender. Exodus 14 and Psalm 46 talk about surrendering our cares and our concerns and our worries because the battle is not ours. Be still, the anchoring command. Let God be God. The essence of these scriptures is that when we're going through stuff, when life happens, when the report from the doctor is not good, When mama's cancer won't go away. When daddy's still dealing with that addiction. When things aren't going right in my relationship. My child is in trouble. My grandbaby's in trouble. That pink slip came today. Those are the times when we have to know that we know that we know we can trust God's precious promises. He is a deliverer. We have to surrender and hand over our faith and our fear. Don't worry, because we stand on the promises of God, and He is mighty to save. It is inevitable, but I thank God for the promise that His power is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is sufficient for whatever you and I are going through. Those times when desperation seems to be your friend and doubt is lingering as a companion, and that song that y'all remember, Natalie Cole, and she said, "Good morning, heartache, you old gloomy friend. Might as well get used to be hanging around. Why don't you sit on down?" When you're feeling like that, that's when you have to remember the promise that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He's that kind of God. Well, I'm not going to assume here today that everybody sitting knows what kind of God He is. So let's talk about what kind of God He is. First of all, He is a fear-removing kind of God. A fear-removing kind of God. He will allow you to get yourself in a situation, and then He will help you with your despair. Despair will cast you down. Fear will let you retreat. Impatience will make you do something now that you don't need to be doing. And assumptions will make you jump in the Red Sea before it's parted. God says, "Stand still and hold your peace and see the salvation." Moses didn't know what God was going to do, but he knew the promises and he knew what the result would be. He knew God would save his people, and he knew that the enemies of God would be destroyed. Y'all heard of the acronym for fear? False evidence appearing real. Y'all heard that? I like that. Fear comes when we start taking a personal, carnal, human inventory of what's going around. We start strategizing and thinking and analyzing. We begin to doubt God's ability that He is who He says He is, and He can do what He says He can do. We have more faith in the adversary than we do in God's final word. But great is Thy faithfulness. Yeah. Oh God, our Father, He who has begun a good work in you will see you through to the end. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. When you reach that cul-de-sac situation, when you feel like it's safer to just stay behind the fence and stay in bondage, when you're chained to the stronghold, For some folk, y'all, we got to remember that freedom costs too much. They can't see the risk. And that's why we have to be ocular demonstrations of what it means to stand on the promises of God. Because He's that kind of God. He will carry us to our future. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." He's that kind of God, y'all. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's that kind of God. Secondly, He's a salvation-bringing God. He's a fear-erasing God, and he is a salvation-bringing God. If you're one of God's elect, you can hide in his wings. He protects us. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Do you know how many times, I can only imagine for you, but how many times I've had to run under the wings of God to find safety, to find out that's where I should have ran to first, before I ran to the phone, before I ran to the emails. That's where we run. He's a salvation-bringing God. When we place our faith in him, we lay our burdens at his feet. We don't have to move. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to fight, because he is a salvation-bringing kind of God. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. Where does it come from? My help comes from the Lord. Y'all, we don't live by chance. We don't live by happenstance. We don't live by coincidence. We don't live by fate. God has been there from the beginning of creation. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, and in him we live, we move, and have our being. He provides everything we need. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is a provider. He's that kind of God. He's a savior. He is the great I am. When Moses asked, he said, "I am that I am." He's that kind of God. And thirdly, he's a prayer answering God. He promised the Israelites that they would not see the Egyptians anymore. God spoke a benediction over their situation. Y'all know what a benediction is. It's a concluding act. God was about to shut it down. God steps in when things get critical, and he began to shut if we let him. If we stand on the promises, he will shut down all that foolishness that's going on around you. He's able to shut doors that no man can open, and open doors that no man can close. Songwriter said, "I'm so glad that trouble don't last always." There's been some things that God has spoken a benediction over in my life. I'm so glad that he got the riffraff out. You know, riffraff will cause an interruption and a distraction. They mean you no good, and they take up space in your head and your heart, and you can't get to the Lord. God will get you over the heartaches, the losses, the disappointments, those things that have you walking the floor all night long. Y'all know there's a promise about sweet sleep. Have y'all seen that promise in Proverbs 3:24-26? It says, "When you lay down, you don't have to be afraid. Your sleep will be sweet." Hallelujah. Something as simple as being able to rest at night. God is a prayer answering God. Well, come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We want to know. When your back was up against the wall and you were facing the fiery furnace, won't he do it? Yes. Won't he step in? You won't be singed. You won't be burned. You won't be consumed. In fact, the enemy that put you in the fire will be consumed. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come here, Daniel, in the lion's den. What you know about God? He's a very present help in a time of trouble. And Daniel shows us, if you make up your mind that you're going to live for God, die for God, you're going to stand on your faith and on his promises, you are going to find yourself sometimes in a dire situation. People are going to ridicule you. They're going to lie on you. They're going to turn their back on you. They're going to talk about you on Twitter. Get that when you get home. when you're about to be devoured, God will step in and shut down the lion's jaws. Come here, Lazarus. You were declared DOA. Won't he step in and speak life into your dead situation? Won't he resurrect your dead attitude? Won't he resurrect some dead situations that are going on around you? Listen, when you are in a dead situation, don't get it twisted. People are counting up what they can get from you. They're adding up your losses for their gain. When Lazarus died, they were crying and they were reminiscing about his life. His family was mad, confused, and sad. But God has the last word. And when he sees our dead situation and you ask, can these bones live? Si se puede. Yes, they can. They can live. God is well able, y'all. Well able. He's that kind of God. Come here, Mary Magdalene. What's your story, girl? She said, I was emotionally crippled and I'm looking and acting crazy. I was dead in my sins, but God gave me a new lease on life. He made me a new creation. His promises were released in my life and I became a sold out sister for the Lord. I saw them when they hung him high and they stretched him wide and they crucified him on that old rugged cross. I heard him clanging the nails into his wrist and his ankles. I saw them pierce his side. I saw the blood come streaming down. I was holding his mama and we cried. They took him off the cross. They put him in a borrowed grave. And the old preacher that I grew up under used to say, early, early, early one Sunday morning, God proved once again that he's a promise-keeping God. He's a prayer-answering God. Mary said, I'm a witness. As a matter of fact, she said, I'm the first witness. A woman was the first to witness the resurrection. Old preacher said, he got up with all power in his hand. He got up with the keys to life and death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Well, I'm soon to take my seat, but I got a little testimony. He's my strength and he's my refuge. He's a redeeming kind of God. Big Mama called him a burden bearer, a heavy load sharer, a heart fixer, and a mind regulator. He's a mind moving, peace bringing, joy delivering, deliverer, healer, blessing releasing, praise worthy, promise keeping kind of God. And for the rest of my days, I'm going to hang on to the promises of his word. What promises, Minister Joe? Exodus 14, he will fight for you. Just be still. Isaiah 40, 29, he gives power to the faint. And he gives strength to those who are weak. Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. James 1 and 5, if you need wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you. 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Deuteronomy 31 and 8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not abandon you. Do not fear and don't be dismayed. Philippians 4 and 19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Standing on the promises. of Christ, my Savior. I don't know any other way to live. My big mama did it. My mama did it. Big daddy did it. Daddy did it. And now our generation is trying to show the young people in our family how to stand on the promises. Sometimes we come in and we sit down, and I'm guilty of this. God has delivered us. He saved us. We're well past all our little issues and all our little problems. We have arrived. But God has an assignment for you. Because whatever he taught you, he's expecting you to teach the young people. Y'all, we're living in dire straits. The world is changing. The administration is changing. And Matthew 24 gives us a whole bunch of warnings and promises. Don't let nothing take us by surprise. Let's prepare our families. Prepare our children. And I have been convicted to prepare my grandchildren. God is a good God. All of my life, as long as I live, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die.
Hallelujah. Did not the preacher preach? We thank God for the spoken word. We thank God for the vessel that he used to proclaim his word today. The door to my Father's house is standing ajar. We invite those of you who know not Christ in the pardon of your sins to come. This is your opportunity to become a member of the body of Christ that we call the church. The church is standing. We invite you to come. The choir is singing.
Like a ship that's tossed and driven and battered by an angry sea. Oh Lord, when the storms of life are raging is fall on me, I wonder, Lord, what I've done. Oh, that makes my race so hard to run. But oh, that's what I say to my soul. Take courage, the Lord will make a way somehow. Lord, I've tried to do my best in your service. Lord, I tried to live the very best that I can. But it just seems like every time when I choose to do the right thing, oh Lord, it just seems like evil is present on every hand. But oh, that's when I look up, then I began to wonder why. It just seemed like all the good fortune seemed like they passed me by. but that's alright. Then I say to my soul, be patient and don't worry about it, because the Lord will make a way. A sweet relief, I know there is. When troubles come, there is a sweet relief. Even when sickness comes, there is a sweet relief. Whatever you're going through, that's alright, that's alright, because there is, hey, there is a sweet thing, just in your.
Thank you. You may be seated. Candy.
The Lord will.
Wow.
I feel like preaching right now.
I know that's right, Pastor.
The Lord will. You'll make a way.
Keith, he'll make a way. I could holler, I'd holler right by now. He will make a way. Oh, listen. He'll make a way. Is there anybody here that the Lord has made a way for? Is there anybody here? But the Lord has brought you through the storm.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody
yes,
here? Go ahead, Ken.
I'm a true living testimony that the Lord will make a way somehow. I just want to say thank you this morning for all of you all coming out to help celebrate this Operation Mission Sunday. I can say without conviction that this year's program has been one of the best And that's saying something. On behalf of our pastor, Reverend Robert L. Jimerson, the Women's Missionary Union, I would like to thank Minister Waters. I want to thank you for that powerful message this morning. We've been edified, we've been uplifted, we've been inspired, and I believe we've been lifted to a higher appreciation of the wonderful gospel. We've had some wonderful singing. Yeah. Thank you, choir. Thank you to these wonderful ladies that took time out of their busy schedule to devote three evenings this week. This was all just three rehearsals, all this singing. They devoted three evenings this week to prepare for this morning. The music was magnificent. This program didn't just happen. There was a lot of planning, coordination, and organization to pull it together. The Nanny Helen Burrow Circle, under the leadership of Sister Tina Dickerson, who is the circle chair, took the challenge, ran with it, and did an excellent job. I will forever be indebted to you. Will all the Nanny Helen Burrow Circle members please stand, wherever you are. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank my pastor for allowing us to do what we needed to do in order to accomplish the mission of sponsoring this program. Thank you, Reverend Jim. At this time, I'd like all of the ladies that are members of the Missionary Union to please stand. Amen. I want to thank all of you for making Second Baptist Mission number one. Now, I'm going to do a little bragging right here to come off script. If when you came in the hallway, if you notice, there is a blue placard that says Citywide Mission. Okay, well, Citywide Mission encompasses, what, about 12 churches, Marion? 15 churches in the city. Once a month, all of those missionary ladies come together in a specific church and find out what's going on with the other missions all around the city. Last month, January, we brought the banner home. This month, February, we meet right here on the east side at Mount Sinai Baptist Church. That's on Burnett Street at 4 o'clock. The date is 17 Feb. I'm asking all the ladies to please come out and join us. Those that are in missionary circles already, and those that just want to come and be a member of the Women's Missionary Union, come and join us. Again, that's the 17th of February at 4 o'clock. I guess that's about all I have to say. I want to encourage you ladies to review the different circles, as Terry mentioned earlier. The description of what each circle does is different within the church. So you come and join one or two. We need you guys. We need to grow and carry on the mission that has been assigned to us. Thank you all for coming.
She stole my speech. I wanted to say thank you for our mission. Nanny Helen Burroughs Mission Circle officers and members would like to thank the WMU Missionary Group for giving us the opportunity to bring into fruition this National Operation Mission Celebration at Second Baptist Church. We graciously thank the speaker. She already did that, but I had that in my little speech. And may I ask, I was going to ask them to stand. She beat me to that. But I want to thank our members for stepping up to the task of planning and accepting the challenge of participating in whatever task you were asked. And all of these ladies in white up here besides Miss Candy Ellis are members of my Nanny Helen Burroughs Mission Group. And can I give them a good speech? They did a good job, and thank you.
And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
How thankful I am for the leadership that Sister Candy Ellis has provided for our mission, Women's Mission Sunday. Let me just say a word about Mrs. Ellis Davis. 26 years ago, when I came to Second Baptist, her mother was the president of the Women's Missionary Union. Her name was Lovey White. And Lovey White worked every day. And the Women's Missionary Union was always held on Thursdays. And she would take off from her job to come to share in ministry and to share in leadership with the Second Baptist Church family. It's amazing how God works it. 26 years later, her daughter now stands where her mother once stood. And we say congratulations to Mrs. Davis for her work and for her leadership. She's now retired from her work in civil service. She has those skills that she could bring to the church. And so we are just praying that the Lord would continue to use all of you who are now retired from your jobs and then looking for something to do. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's talking about me. There's plenty of work for you to do here at Second Baptist. I do want to say a word of thanks to those persons who've given of their time, their talents, to sing in the choir. Next year, we'll do the same thing. Next year, we'll have the same speaker. And so we want to pack it out for her so that when she goes back to resurrection, she will say, the Lord has truly been resurrected at Second. And when she go back to Antioch, she can say, Second Baptist is second to none. Amen. And so we invite her to come back next year and break the bread of life to us. All members of contemporaries, would you please stand? All contemporary choir members. All contemporary choir members. Immediately following church, you are to make a donation. That's not what the note said. Oh. The note said that you are to meet in the choir stand to take a picture for next Sunday. Amen. You can bring your offering too. It's all right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, contemporaries. We're standing. We are ready to go. We praise God again for the preacher and for the wonderful message, the outstanding message. Homiletically sound, and we praise God for her. She will come now and share with us in our benediction, Mrs. Dickerson, Tina. Tina, come stand, Tina. I call her the queen. She is the queen of Dillard University. What class, 1966?
Y'all won't tell.
But she's around the church all the time working and I just call her the queen of Dillard University. Any more Dillard University? No? You stand alone. Come share with us.
Thank you, Pastor Jemison. Thank you, Second Baptist. Thank you, Women's Mission Union. You've been a blessing to me today in ways you don't know. Let's bow. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the word. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the praise. Thank you for the offerings. Lord, we just ask you to watch over us now as we depart. Allow your hallelujah Shekinah glory to remain on us so that people will see us and see you. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne of grace, be all majesty, glory, dominion, and power. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Amen.